Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have never been a patient person. Never. That's probably not news to any of you. But from my earliest of days, I have always hated to wait for anything, for anyone. I was the student in class who would always raise his hand. Teacher, call me! You know, to the annoyance of every other student in the class and the teacher to boot. I was the kid who got frustrated at other students when they didn't understand the assignment, when they couldn't figure out the drill in basketball practice. I was the child who was always on time and everywhere 10 minutes early, and wanted everything to start exactly when it said it was going to start. Like I said, I've never really been a patient person. And I don't say that with pride, because there's nothing admirable about being impatient. Scriptures teach us that patience, not impatience, is a fruit of God's Spirit. They teach us that not only is patience a fruit of the Spirit, but that patience is one of the characteristics of love. It's also one of the attributes of God. Even our society teaches us that patience is a virtue, and that good things come to those who wait. And our text from Isaiah 40 this morning further drives home the importance of patience. As it says that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Notice, it does not say those who work harder than everybody else, or those who try to do things by themselves, or those who never give up will renew their strength. It says that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. That's a lesson that the Lord has been trying to teach me for 50 plus years now. He put me into the house with three sisters in one bathroom in my growing up years. He joined me in marriage to a woman who thinks that an 8 o'clock appointment means that you leave the house at 8 o'clock. He gave me three daughters as children, all of whom, for some reason, like our bathroom better than the one that they have. He called me into a profession where I'm forced to wait upon people and forced to wait upon Him. And finally, He's allowed me a variety of illnesses to come into my life, which have been bigger than me, bigger than the doctors could figure out what's going on, in which I had no other option than to wait upon the Lord. And you see, all this He did to me and for me because He loves me. Because His power is made perfect in my weakness. Because only those who wait on Him and rely on Him will run and not grow weary, and will soar on wings like eagles. And only those who are humbled before Him will be exalted by Him. You know, too often we enter into a wilderness of life, an illness, a relationship problem, money troubles. And we begin to question both the presence and the power of God. Because we reason, well, a God who cares about me and a God who is capable of helping me would certainly do so given the mess that my life is in. And since God isn't stepping in and helping, fixing everything that's wrong in my life. Well, maybe he doesn't care. Or maybe, even worse, maybe he isn't capable of helping me. I think that is a little how the people of Judah felt in our text from Isaiah 40 this morning as they looked at their future. A future that would include the collapse of their country and the exile of their people. And thus they complained to God with these words, "Our way is hidden from the Lord, and our cause is disregarded by God." It's how it feels, doesn't it? When you're going through a wilderness in life, and you're doing it by yourself. It feels like God's forgotten you, and that somehow you've just got to do it on your own. I think that's how the character of Moses felt in that great movie by Cecil B. DeMille, an epic film, The Ten Commandments. I'm sure you've all seen it at some point in your life. Having been banished from Egypt, Moses is forced to set out on foot across the Sinai Desert with one day's ration of food and water. And as he walks along day after day under the scorching sun, he grows more weary with each laboring step until finally, too weak to go on, he falls prostrate into the desert sand. And as we watch Moses in the movie trudge along before his final collapse, we hear the narrator of the film say these words. "He does not bless or curse the force that moves him, for he does not know from whence it comes. He is driven onward, ever onward, through the burning crucible of desert, where holy men and prophets are cleansed and purged for God's great purpose, until at last, at the end of human strength, beaten into the dust from which he came, the metal is ready for the Maker's hand." Oh, I love those words. You see, in this movie, it wasn't until Moses had gone as far as he could possibly humanly go and then had collapsed onto the desert floor that he was finally ready for God to step into his life and to renew his strength. Not until he had given up was he ready to be forged by the hand of God. Moses needed his time of weakness and loneliness and depression and hunger and exhaustion in the wilderness so that he could begin to walk by God's strength rather than his own, so that he could begin to live by faith and not by sight. Dave Dravecki, the one-time pitcher for the San Francisco Giants, in his book, When You Can't Come Back, wrote about the myriads of trials and heartaches and setbacks that he and his wife went through in dealing with and fighting against his cancer. And finally, he wrote these words, and you can follow along on the screen if you'd like. He wrote, "Looking back, we have learned that the wilderness is part of the landscape of faith, and every bit as essential as the mountaintop. On the mountaintop, we are overwhelmed by God's presence. In the wilderness, we are overwhelmed by his absence. Both places should bring us to our knees, the one in utter awe, the other in utter dependence. One by one, the wilderness took from us everything we had depended upon in place of God. It took away our physical health, our mental and emotional health, our church, our friends, and even took us away from each other. All those things that we relied on for our source of strength were gone. We were forced to turn to God because there was nowhere else to turn. But at times in the wilderness, he seemed to be distant, if not absent altogether. But just when our mouths were parched and Jan and I felt we would die of thirst, he provided a well in the wilderness, Dr. McGowan. Just when we were completely disoriented, he provided a sign pointing the way, Dr. Townsend. Just when it looked as if every trace of him had vanished, he provided a flower, Celia Yates. Just when it felt as if I were going to die from sunstroke, he provided shade, Allie Hammaker. Through them, we learned that God was not absent in the wilderness. He was there. We saw him. In the caring eyes of a family doctor, in the sympathetic voice of a psychologist, in the helping hands of a friend, in the comfortable presence of a fellow ball player. As Jan and I reflect on our time in the wilderness, we learned a lot. We learned to walk by faith rather than by sight. Where did Job say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him? In the wilderness of his own suffering. Where did David say, oh God, my God, how I search for you, how I thirst for you in a parched and weary land where there is no water? In the wilderness, when he hid from his enemies. Where did Jesus say, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? In the wilderness, when he fought off the temptations of the devil. Again, that was an excerpt from Dave Dravecki's book, When You Can't Come Back. You see, going through the wilderness forces us to wait upon the Lord. And even though it feels at times like God has disregarded us, he hasn't. He won't. Indeed, he can't. He loves us too much to ever leave us or forsake us. He sacrificed, my goodness, his own son for us. The death of Jesus on the cross for our forgiveness. And his resurrection from the dead to give us life everlasting is proof positive of his indescribable, immeasurable, incomprehensible love for us. He will do whatever it takes to bring us and to grow us to where he wants us and needs us to be for eternity, which is to make us totally dependent upon him. Even if that means that we have to spend a certain amount of time out in the wilderness. Good things come to those who wait. That's not just a trite platitude. It is also a biblical truth. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Are you, by any chance, currently in a wilderness? If you are, wait on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Lean fully and only on the Lord, and your strength will be renewed. That is God's promise for the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen.